Hello and you're very welcome to this week's Roscommon GAA Memories with myself and Ray Lennon. And this week we're talking about the 1979 League semi-final and another great day for Roscommon football.
It was indeed, Aidan. It was a great game of football between Roscommon and Offaly that took place on the 15th of April 1979. And Roscommon qualified for the league final on a scoreline of 114 to 12 points. But by all accounts and by all the reports, Aidan, it was a tremendous game of football between two very good teams, and it was only in the last few minutes that Roscommon sort of got 3 points to make it look like a comfortable win, but it was nip and tuck all through the game, and it was only, as I said, the last few minutes that Roscommon pulled away from Offaly. And you know, it was a tremendous game of football. It meant Roscommon qualified for the league final, which took place about a month later, and of course we all remember that Roscommon won their first National League title in May of 1979 with a big Cork in the final.
That's it. And of course we also remember that this was probably the start of a great Offaly team that went on to win the All-Ireland by beating another great team, Kerry, in the All-Ireland finals a couple of years later.
That's right. Offaly was on the threshold of greatness, really. That team in 79 were starting out, you know, they were, Eugene McGee was the manager, and they were still in transition, you know, from the 70s. Like, for example, some of the older players from the 70s, like Willie Bryan, who had played a star role for Offaly in the 1972 All-Ireland final. He came on as sub in 79, but he was no longer there after that. You know, he sort of has gone off the scene. So it was the new kids on the block, you know, the Matt Connor, you know, the Sean Lowry's were still there from 72, but the Jerry Carrolls, the Johnny Mooney's, all these new players came through. Liam Curran's young player, 1982, just 20 years of age. The Lowry's, of course, Brendan Mick came forward as well to be on the 82 team. So Offaly was building. They had a good mixture of the old players who had won All-Irelands in 71 and 72, like Sean Lowry, Seamus Darby. And then they had the new players, as I said, the Lowry's, the new younger Lowry's, the Matt Connors, the Richie Connors, and like Richie Connor was captain in 82, and he was full back in this game in 1979, and by all accounts he was a very, very good full back for Offaly on that occasion.
That's it. And you know, I suppose you know, this was a very good Roscommon team as well. Some very talented players, Paul Ayre, or Dermot Airey, and some really great players. And I suppose, you know, it wasn't an easy game for them, but I suppose that's where great teams come to the fore in situations like that. You know, when a game is going, it's a tough game, they manage to grind it out, especially against, like we just said, they're a very good Offaly team. And you know, that Roscommon were up and coming, and they were doing well at that stage as well.
The war Roscommon were on, you know, they'd already won two kind of championships in a row under Tony White. And then in 1978, just the year before this match, Roscommon won the All-Ireland Under 21 championship, beating Kerry in that epic game in Hyde Park. And Tommy Heenahan, the Roscommon cornerback, he became the new player manager in 1979. And Roscommon really came to the fore.
That must be very difficult as well, Ray. Like when you consider, like, it's hard enough being either a player or a manager, but to take on the two roles, it takes a very special person to do that.
Absolutely. Like, it's a very difficult role to be a player at county level. I think in any era, you know, in the 70s or 80s, 90s, even today. And you couldn't imagine, for example, maybe Carl Craig being the player manager of Roscommon now. You know, you couldn't imagine, or you couldn't imagine Niall Daly being the player manager of Roscommon. It just wouldn't work. And you have to, I suppose.
There's so much, you see, I think nowadays, I know even back then, but I mean, especially nowadays, the amount of work, it's nearly like a full-time job, just managing a team, never mind managing and playing, like, you know. Yeah. So it's you know, and I can only imagine back then it would be, you know, you're trying to, you know, because, like, on the one hand, you're a player, and you're like one of the lads, but then, you know, on the other hand, you're the manager, so you have to, kind of see that side of it as well. You can't be, you know, you can't be seen to be showing favoritism when you're a player, or you kind of have to step, I suppose, take a step back in a sense.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, once you're the manager, you're no longer one of the lads, and you know that divide is there. It's like, for me, and I'm sure yourself, you know, when you've a top manager, he's no longer one of the guys. He might be a bit of banter from time to time, but he's not, you know, one of the lads anymore, you know. Tom Heenan, it's just a measure aid, I suppose, of the type of person that Tom Heenan was, that he was a man of, from all the people I've spoken to, a man of immense capability and immense managerial skill and talent, together with his footballing talent. So Tom Heenan was an amazingly talented, gifted man, and he was a very good motivator, but, you know, from what I've heard and what I've told, that he had a great way of getting, you know, players up for games and getting them right. He trained teams very, very hard, and he was a great believer in hard training as a method of gelling teams together. And for example, the 78 team, most of them that I spoke to said that they had a great bond, you know, from the training and the character that was developed in the training. But everybody is glowing in their admiration of Tom Heenan as a manager, and that you speak to fans from that era and talk about Tom Heenan, they've nothing but the highest of regard for Tom Heenan as a manager, in the sense of what he achieved for us. Common, like, he won two Connacht championships as a manager, he won the National League, he got Roscommon to the All-Ireland Senior Final, and he won the All-Ireland Under-21 in the space of 3 seasons. And that's an incredible success rate. He's arguably Aidan Roscommon's most successful manager of the last, you know, especially of the last 50 years, you know, but of all time, you know, you have to go back to the 40s for anything comparable. Yeah. So he's a man, Tom Heenan, that played for Castlereagh, St. Kevin's. He started off on the minor team in 1965 that lost to Derry in the All-Ireland semi-final. It's a game that lost by a point, and Derry went on to win the All-Ireland final. And then Dermot Early was in that team, and Jim Jumbo Kane from St. Bridget's scored, I think, 2 or 3 goals against Derry in that match. Then in 1966, Tom Heenan became an All-Ireland champion with Roscommon in the under 21 grade, when they beat Kildare. They shocked Kildare. Kildare had 13 of the team, or 12 or 13 of the team, that won the All Ireland the year
right,
before.
We discussed that game, that under 21 final, a number of weeks ago there, and it just goes to that Kildare team that day was a quality team. So, like, I mean, I suppose he would have learned a lot, and as a player, and you know, he was able to bring that into his management, into the management side of things.
Absolutely, and he had started off in 1965 with the senior team for Roscommon as well. So by 1978-79, when he became the player manager, he had an immense amount of experience. And he was on that great team, Aidan, that we covered a few weeks ago as well, you know, the 1972 Connacht final in Castlebar, where Roscommon beat Mayo. Again, Roscommon were underdogs, and Tom Heenan was one of 6 Castlereagh men on that Roscommon team. Himself, John Curran, Mickey Frayne, Adrian Sullivan, Harry Keegan, you know, it was a great team, and Tom Heenan was part of, you know, that team with his 5 Castlereagh clubmates.
Yeah, and I suppose really it's given us an appreciation of the quality that was in that panel. I know the starting 15 was extraordinary for Roscommon, but I suppose just to give the listeners a bit of a bit of an idea of the quality that was. We know the quality that was on the starting 15, but there must have been serious quality on the bench. Just give us, if you could name a few names there, just to give us an idea of those players.
Well, John Jigger O'Connor, Aidan, couldn't play that day, which was a big loss to Roscommon. But I'll give you the Roscommon team. John McDermott was in goals, and he had a great game. He saved a penalty. Now, the game could be summed up as a game of 2 penalties, because Roscommon got a penalty in the first half when Martin Furlong, the great legendary Offaly goalkeeper, pulled down Mickey Frayne, who was in 1-on-1. And Martin Furlong had no option but to bring him down. You know, we've done it ourselves as keepers, yeah. Like if the player goes around you, the goalie generally pulls the forward down and takes his chances on the penalty. Nowadays, yeah. It's a black card, unfortunately, so goalkeepers might be less inclined to do that. But back in the day...
That was all right when back in the day when there was no such a thing as a black card. But I think the black card nowadays, is that like a sin bin thing? Or is it like you go off and then that's it, you can't go back on again?
It's a 10-minute. I was at a championship match there at the weekend. Pádraig Pearse's reserve team or junior team were playing Glasgales, and one of the Glasgales players got 10 minutes in the bin. So John McDermott.
Yeah, so it's like a change to the old black card, where if you got a black card, you were off, and that was it, but you could be replaced. But I think that's kind of better as well. You know, the way you know you get the player that gets a black card is gone for 10 minutes, because a lot can happen in that 10 minutes when the player is off, and it's kind of a punishment for the team not to do it again. Like,
well, I think it's like Aidan on that point. I think myself that the black card should be nearly, it's a punishment for the player really, first and foremost. Yeah. And they've 10 minutes in the bin. But I think if they punish the player by giving them, say, because black card is generally for cynical play. It's not really a red card offence. It's something to punish the player. So I think the team shouldn't be punished that much, to be honest with you. I know it's open to debate.
But a player that gets the black card and is off for 10 minutes, like, I mean, that the team are without that player for 10 minutes. So it is a punishment for the player, but it is also a punishment for the team for that 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, I think myself, Aidan, that it should be fundamentally a punishment for the player, because and not so much the team, because in the old days, the black card would have been a yellow card, do you know?
Yeah.
And the player would have stayed on with the yellow card, and he may not get a yellow card for the remainder of the game. And
I think the black card in many ways, it's kind of a grey area, isn't it? Like, I mean, it's kind of... It's a punishment, but it's not a punishment. You know what I mean? It's you know, it's a kind of a grey area.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like we've discussed it before, by saying, like, you know, the manager, you know, it's... you know, it's kind of, you know, the referees interpret it differently, you know. Mm. One referee could give a black card there could be one incident, and one referee could give a black card for it, and another might let it go, you know. So it's kind of down to the referee on the day.
Exactly. There's a lot of different interpretations on it. But because yellow cards were in place for so long, or one booking, I think personally it's a punishment for the player who ordinarily would have gotten a yellow card the past. So I think the team shouldn't suffer that penalty of a player. I think the team should be allowed to have a sub on for that period. Do you know? I know it's open to debate, because, like, for example, a goalie dragging a player down, a goalkeeper dragging a forward down who's in on goal, okay, that's always happened down through the years, and it was always a yellow card, but now it's a black card. And I think most goalkeepers will still do it. You know, it's cynical play, okay, I don't condone it, but maybe the team should be allowed a substitute on. I know it's a debatable one, as arguments for and against, but
like, you and I are goalkeepers, Ray, and to be honest with you, you know, if you're behind the defence and we say the quality of the opposition's forwards is such that, you know, they get by your full back line and you're left exposed as a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Like, as a goalkeeper, you're facing the forwards, and your options are very, very limited. So, I mean, your options are very little. And then, like, obviously, as you just said there, you know, you trip the player or whatever, and you take your chances with the penalty. But then if that penalty goes in, you're hoping to save it, obviously, you know, and, you know, we both have saved penalties, you know, in our playing and goal, but, you know, depending on the penalty taker, it could go into the top corner and you wouldn't get it. But you know, like in cases like that, you're very left with very little options. So, you know, and it's kind of if the goalkeeper gets a black card and goes off temporarily, and, well, I suppose they could bring on the second choice keeper, I suppose, but you don't want to be doing that with the goalkeeper, because then that kind of disrupts the team as well.
It does indeed, Aidan. But I'll give you the Roscommon team, Aidan, from 79. John McDermott was in goals, and he saved the penalty. Harry Keegan, Pat Lindsay, Tom Heenahan, Jerry Fitzmaurice, Tom Donlan, Danny Murray, Dermot Airlie and Seamus Hayden, Tony McManus, John McGarr and Sean Kilbride, Michael Finner, Mickey Frayne and Eamon McManus. So, like, you had most of the team that played in the league final, played in the All-Ireland final the following year. And, like, the Offaly team, Martin Furlong in goals, of course, he saved that great penalty in 82, Aidan, against Mike Sheehy. Martin Furlong, yeah, one of the great goalkeepers.
That was a great save.
Yeah, he's a keeper that I really admired when I was growing up. He was such a courageous goalkeeper. You know, he really put his body on the line, Martin Furlong, and he was a brilliant goalkeeper. So Martin Furlong was in goals. Eugene Mulligan, Richie Connor and Ollie Minnock was the full back line. Charlie Conroy, Mick Wright and Stephen Darby were the half back line. Tomás Connor and Jerry Carr were midfield. Then Offaly, Pat Fenning, Vincent Henry and Tom Fitzpatrick in the half forward line. That had Jerry Hickey, Sean Lowry and Johnny Mooney in the full forward line. And the subs were Willie Bryan for Vincent Henry, and then a Pete Doyle for Fitzpatrick. So Offaly had a, you know, half of that team went on to win the All-Ireland 82. So that, you know, there was no Brendan Lowry or Mick Lowry or Mick Fitzgerald, Pat Fitzgerald. There was no Matt Connor on this team, or Liam Connor. So there was a lot of new players that came in after this league of 1979 for Offaly, between 1979 and 82, Aidan, you know. So
yeah,
they were a great team, and like, this game was helter skelter. Roscommon had beaten Kerry in the previous round, in the quarter final, to get into the semi final. And the report said that Roscommon were generally sharper, fractionally faster, combining far better with each other, and they finished the stronger, you know. So that's what the paper said, you know. That, but then it comes down to the fitness, and Tom Heenahan and his trainer was incredible. From people I spoke to say his trainer was very, very sharp, very, very hard, but the teams he had were extremely fit in.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there were good players, and he had talent, he had raw individual talent collected together in a one unit to play brilliantly. Like, look at the players Roscommon had in the forwards, like Tony McManus, Mick Finner and Mickey Frayne. There's three guys with individual flair, and that's not to talk about John O'Connor, who didn't play that day. And then, as well as that, you had John O'Gara, who had power and ball-carrying ability, and he could beat a man, and he had the strength. Sean Kilbride as well had that, you know, he had that tenaciousness about him, tenacity. So, like, Roscommon had a really, really strong forward line. And then Eamon McMahon is probably less skillful than Tony. However, his work rate, his speed, his fitness, his overall general play, he was immense. And this game, the report says that Eamon McManus was all over the field. You know, he took his man out the field, he created space inside, and his work rate and his speed and his general play was outstanding. So Eamon sort of, there's a man, Eamon McManus, senior Aidan, that, you know, he was a phenomenal servant to Roscommon football as well. You know, great player. One or two times I met him, really nice man as well. Eamon was the minor manager as well, and did a pretty good job for a few years as well. So there's a, sort of like, there's Eamon Senior and Eamon Junior, no? So, and Eamon Senior was a tremendous player, probably from about 1974 till 88. I think he played his last Connacht Senior Championship match in 1988 against Mayo in the Connacht final, and I was at the game, and I think he got a broken ribs. He had to go off in the second half. It was a disappointing game for Roscommon. I think that was Eamon's last game, but tremendous servant to Roscommon football, Eamon McManus Senior. So Eamon, but that's what the paper said, that Roscommon were generally sharper, and they in the end they had the edge on Offaly. And half time the score was 1-7 to 9 points in favour of Roscommon, and the conditions were extremely, extremely warm. And the Western footballers, the paper is called, the Western footballers were undoubtedly the better side against earnest opposition. That still, you know, that Roscommon showed composure and craft inculcated by experience. That's what they were saying.
Key elements too that are required for not winning in All Ireland. But I suppose, like you just touched on it there a few minutes ago, there about the level of fitness that the Roscommon lads had now. And I suppose when you compare the type of training the methods of training back then to, we say, everything that's involved in training now, it's a lot more scientific nowadays. And could you imagine, like, if that team of 79 were players today, how they'd be it'd be interesting to see. If their fitness was super back then, imagine what it would be like now with the modern methods of training.
Incredible, Aidan. And like, sometimes we forget, we think that, oh, it's better nowadays and everything else, and that it's all scientific. I think every generation sort of thinks we're living in the best generation in terms of our what we know and what we've learned and what we're developing. But like we've discussed the 1940s team, Aidan, at length, on different occasions, and like they train for 2 weeks collectively before every match. So
yeah.
The 40s team were like professionals, and they were so fit. They were incredibly fit because they beat Galway in the 1943 final by a point. And all the reports, we covered it last week, the report said that Roscommon were so much fitter than Galway towards the end of the game. And I think in the early 40s, only Roscommon and Antrim were doing collective training for a while, and then everybody started it. But Roscommon were incredibly fit to beat Galway in the 1943 kind of final by a point. And again, it was the last 10 minutes that they pulled away. And that has to come down to the collective training and the professionalism that they showed back there. Because Galway had won 3 kind of championships in a row, and they had been in the All-Ireland final in 1942, just the year before, and Dublin just beat them by 2 points. So Galway were still one of the best teams in the country. So Roscommon, just a measure of the great team that Roscommon had in the 40s. But I think Aidan, if Tommy Heenan's team that won against Offaly in 1979 were, if you like, if they go into the time tunnel. Have you ever seen the old program, The Time Tunnel, where you go, it's Doug and Tony go into this time tunnel, and they might end up in back in Abraham Lincoln's time, or they might end up in Pearl Harbor, or they might go to Custer's Last Stand, or they might go into the future. If there was such a thing as a time tunnel, and Tommy Heenan could bring his panel into 2020 and train them, they'd have the same. They'd be Tommy Heenan, knowing what Tommy Heenan would be like. He'd have the most modern, advanced, sophisticated training methods available to the Roscommon team. There's no doubt about it. And I think most managers in their era, in their time, they go with best practice and what the contemporary science tells them is the most advantageous in that time frame, Aidan. So I think Roscommon would have the same level and not better fitness than anybody else if that team was playing today, if Tommy Heenan was managing them. And it's just the way.
I mean, you were telling me there back there a good few weeks ago about when you were playing for the county minors and for the county seniors and all that, like, training in army bases and all these kind of things that kind of go on now. You'd want to be, that's it. You'd want to be fit for the army. So I suppose that was an interesting method of training for players, for intercounty players.
Yeah, well, we trained very well back in the 90s. The minor team was very, very fit. When I was on the senior squad in 97 with Donny Shine and with Gay Sheridan, their training was fantastic. The teams were very fit. It wasn't fitness. To be honest with you, this is my own experience, and I'm only talking for personal opinion. Fitness rarely beats Roscommon. Fitness doesn't. Most teams are fit. Even the 32 counties of Ireland, 33 to play in the championship, they're all fit. It's a lot of games come down to skill sets and ability to execute and to translate and convert your chances into scores.
You can see a game nowadays, or indeed in any era, and you could have players that are animal fit, but at the end of the day, you can be as fit as you like, but if you can't put the ball over the bar or in the net, it's all worth it. It's all for nothing, like.
Correct. It's skill sets. It's about being able to put the ball over the bar and take your chances, and it's about creating and taking your chances. Art of score creation and score taking. And it's a simple numbers game. It's what's on the debit side, what's on the credit side. Are you taking, teams need to be taking, 80-90% of the chances that they create. And if you have a team, like we've seen teams lose all Ireland's from kicking a lot of wides, like, in the 90s and 2000s, we've seen teams miss chances.
I suppose the best example of that would be Mayo, where, they played in Dublin on numerous occasions in finals. And, it was just that, in fairness to Mayo, it was just that fraction, that can win you or lose you in All-Ireland.
You need to win in All-Ireland, you need, four or five good scoring forwards to be able to win in All-Ireland. And that's something that most teams don't have. Most teams don't have, the quality forwards to win matches.
And I suppose the football intelligence as well, to be able to read the game, all these little things are...
It's absolutely it. And
being in the right place at the right time and to receive the right pass. And
decision making is important too. It's about playing the right ball, as you said, at the right time. But all sport is about the creation and taking of your chances. Football is no different than hurling, rugby. And you just need to execute the chances and be ruthless. And a good example, the team I look to, Aidan, as being the most ruthless team I've ever seen playing Gaelic games is Kilkenny under Brian Cody. They're absolutely ruthless. Their conversion rate was just off the charts in terms of what they created and what they scored. It was just phenomenal. And but they had forwards, Aidan, like if you look at that, Aidan Fogarty, they had Henry Shefflin, Eddie Brennan, the other guy from James Stevens Club, the name just escapes me at the moment, but they had
Terrell and all those guys.
Owen Larkin. They had players that could, they could score from at any given time. They would just be ruthless in their execution. Even like to Colin Fennelly there as well. They're tremendous hurlers. So anytime Kilkenny got in with it, 20 yards, 25 yards, they just went for the back of the net. But they were able to do it. They believed. It's about backing yourself as well, Aidan. Forwards have to have the self-belief as well. And people keep talking about football and sport being a confidence game. And the great players are confident. The great players believe in their ability. And Johnny Giles always said that the great players do their stuff when it's needed. In soccer, Zinedine Zidane always rose to the occasion. In Roscommon, Tony McManus, last year, Jeremy Murta, when we needed that goal against Galway, they did it. And even in 2017, Aidan, we got two great goals, Brian Stack and Kian Connolly. We needed those guys showed a degree of ruthlessness, which is absolutely admirable. Because when you get in there like that, their scores...
It's about the killer ball. That day against Galway, it was killer ball after killer ball, and that's what won it for us that day, wasn't it?
That's the point, Aidan. And Gerlach Nan always talked about killer instinct, having the killer instinct, and
no messing, none of this handy pandy. If the opportunity is there to play the quick ball in and the direct ball, use it. Now it's, it won't always work for every situation, because it depends on, on the team on the day and all that, and how things pan on as the match goes on. But, when it opens up, then, you need to take advantage of that, because sometimes, and we've discussed it before on the show, sometimes if you overpass it, you end up losing the chance,
We saw it the weekend there, we were at a game, and, where there was one pass too many, and they got intercepted. There was a 2-on-1.
Yeah, shame, because it was a well-worked, I know the chance you're on about there, it was well-worked up to that point, wasn't it?
It was indeed, and it was like too many cooks spoiled the pot. You can overdo it as well, and that's what you were talking about there, about decision making. And if a player must back himself, even if he's in a 2-on-1 and he has another player available, there are times once you're within 14 yards to pull the trigger, because obviously it's about, as you said, football and intelligence. But if the chance is there, if the last defender goes to the spare forward, and anticipates the ball is going to be passed to him, which happened at the weekend, the defender took a chance that the ball was going to be passed over, and he intercepted him like a good centre in rugby, whereas the man in possession, if he held on a split second longer, he would have seen that and he would have had an open goal one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and it cost his team a goal. Now, that's not criticism of the forward. He was being ultra unselfish in. You know, there are times where you need to just pull the trigger yourself.
Sometimes there's a time where by all means take the shot, but also there's a time where if there's a player in a better position.
Yeah, but back in this 1979-1980, like, this was common forward line. They could open up defences at any time. They had so much attack and threat. And that's why it's so disappointing we didn't win the 1980.
They had all those qualities.
It's a disappointment we didn't win the All-Ireland because we had, in 1980, because we had the forwards to win it. We had the talent. You know, it was just unlucky on the day. We had Tony Mack, we had Eamon Senior, we had John O'Gara, Mickey Finneran, Jigger O'Connor, Aidan Dooley. There were six forwards there as good as anyone, any time that ever played in an All-Ireland final. We just were unlucky on the day. A couple of chances didn't go in for us, you know, and that's just the way it was. We had a phenomenal defence as well and a very good midfield. Like, we had a great team. There's no question about it. Roscommon were a great team. But in the first half, it was 1-7-9 points at half-time, and it was just a great game. It was end-to-end stuff, nothing between the two teams, played in great spirits. The two penalties were the key points of the first half. The goal we got was by Tony McManus, penalty 4 minutes before half time, where the Roscommon full forward Mickey Frayne was roaming out, and he had an inspired spell. He was teaming up well with John O'Gara and Dermot Early, and he floated over a couple of points within 30, Mickey Frayne did. Then he, before half time, he found himself in the clear, and he was racing through for what was going to be a certain goal, and he was unceremoniously upended by veteran Offaly goalkeeper Martin Furlong. So they've used the word unceremoniously, so you can only imagine what happened there. Martin didn't take him as a prisoner anyway, he just pulled him down, I'd say. So Tony McManus, as he always has done, kept his nerve.
It wasn't within the rules of the game, in other words.
Unceremoniously.
And he got away with it,
But Tony, Mark Furlong was a phenomenal keeper. You know, that save he made in 82 against Mike Sheehy was tremendous. And people talk about, I read articles about Martin Furlong in training with Offaly and fellas taking shots on him, and he just didn't want the ball to go in. He was just very, very dedicated. So at 4 minutes to go to half time, Tony McManus blasted the penalty to the net. He put it well wide of Martin Furlong to give Roscommon the lead for the first time. So Roscommon only took the lead 8 and 4 minutes before the break. And they never lost that lead after. But at that moment, it looked as though the lead was going to be very short. Lived in, because Offaly tore away from the kick out, and Sean Lowry, trying to battle his way through, was adjudged to have been brought down in the Roscommon Square. And it looked like a harsh decision by the referee, Kieran Campbell from Meath. However, he was on the spot, the referee. So Offaly centre half back, Mick Wright, he came forward. His son, also known as Mick Wright, later on played for Kildare, played in the Kildare team. So Mick Wright, centre back, he scored a 45 earlier, and he was the man entrusted with the penalty. So he let loose a thunderbolt shot, but John McDermott, the Roscommon goalkeeper from Roscommon Gaels, anticipated the direction shrewdly, and the ball crashed off his shoulder and away to safety. And from the break, from the rebound, Roscommon swept right down the field. Harry Keegan got the ball, and then it got up to Mickey Finneran, who came on, who was in for John O'Connor. Mickey Finneran, a tremendous game. Mickey Finneran raced through to beat Martin Furlong with a lob, only to see Mickey Frayne at the end just missing. It lobbed in, and Mickey Frayne had a chance of another goal, but it just went wide. So Lowry cut the margin. Sean Lowry with an awfully point almost on the interval to leave the half-time score 1-7-9 points, as we said. So it felt like a double psychological blow, that of the penalty followed by their own miss, for Offaly, and that was going to weigh heavily on them in the second half. So Roscommon scored and Offaly missed, and it was a turning point really to the game. The penalty miss is a turning point in any game. It's a massive factor. If you miss a penalty,
and of course if you miss it, and not only the giving of the penalty, but also whether it's saved or whether it goes in, that can or through the course of a game. But I suppose really, you know, like if you're the team that concedes the goal or that concedes the penalty and it's scored, if it's real quality and if the team is psychologically strong and the ball goes into the back of the net from the resulting penalty, then it'll just, they just pick it up. They just pick themselves up and just kind of go down the other end and score a point or something, you know, in response. And I suppose that's a good way of, I suppose, getting back into the game after something like that happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So after the break, Aidan, Offaly, you know, they didn't lose courage or heart. It was a game of a great battle by both sides, and both sides showed courage and determination. So Offaly, they battled it out almost to the last whistle, but they were never again played with the same elan or speed or, you know, vigour that they'd shown for most of the opening half. That's Offaly. So the report says that the men in the tricolour jerseys were ragged through much of the third quarter, and the fact that they were still in close contention at that stage was due more to some misses by well-placed Roscommon forwards than to any, you know, great play by Offaly. So the papers are talking about Roscommon missing a few chances. So Offaly then, Aidan, towards the third quarter, they introduced veteran Willie Bryan. And a Willie Bryan apparently gave an amazing display in the 1972 All-Ireland Final for Offaly against Kerry in Croke Park, himself and Nicholas Clavin. And he was brought on to the Offaly attack into full forward, and Sean Lowry was brought out the field. But he did not necessarily improve the situation. So Offaly were three points down with 10 minutes to go when Tomás Connor suddenly came to life at midfield to rouse the fading hopes of the big Offaly following in the 11,855 crowd. So in the closing stages, the losers cut their rears to a single point. So Offaly, right at towards the end, they were just a point behind Aidan, and very briefly looked as though they might salvage victory from defeat. But Roscommon rose magnificently to the occasion and the demands of the occasion, and Finneran Frayn and Tony McManus put the issue beyond all doubt with three well taken late points. So Roscommon qualified to play Cork. Now Cork beat Kildare in the other semi final, and on the form that they showed, the papers were saying that the papers are saying that Kildare or Cork need not be unduly afraid. You know what I mean? That, you know, the Roscommon played well, but there was parts of the game that they needed to improve on. And they said the Roscommon's defence was very impressive, marking tightly and supporting one another effectively. And you know, there you talk about supporting one another effectively. I've seen in some games, you know, that have been that recently in the Championship, where defences aren't supporting each other. In like a cornerback getting closed down by maybe two forwards, and there's nobody going to give him support, give him an outlet, you know. It's so important for defenders with coming out of the ball, if they can't break through the tackle or if they're closed out by a couple of forwards, to have some other defender to go and to provide the outlet to take the pass off him, you know. And so that's Roscommon were very, very good at that in supporting each other. So for much of the hour in the semi-final, Roscommon held sway at midfield, where Dermot Early had many brilliant moments, as well as linking up with his forwards. The forwards combined well enough to cut through the opposition defence time and time again, but the paper said that they spoiled many of their most promising movements, either by poor finishing or trying to round a man too many when more direct action might have brought a half a dozen goals. That's what they're saying, that Roscommon, the paper said Roscommon had chances of a half a dozen goals, which is incredible. Like, that's six goal chances. So as for Offaly, on my book, this is the writer, they have no cause for despondency despite the defeat. They gave an extremely good account of themselves and might well have been in the final only for the penalty miss, you know.
A penalty scored or missed can be everything else, can be the difference between winning or losing.
So like the paper said, the Offaly had good players in Richie Connor, Mick Wright in defence, Tomás Connor midfield, Johnny Mooney, Sean Lowry up top, you know. So it was a landmark day for Roscommon to get through to the league final, Aidan, where they would eventually play Cork and win by, I think, 15-1, which was an incredible victory.
Against a quality side, like you were saying.
Yeah, sure, and Cork, we covered a game a few weeks ago, and the Cork had all those great players, Jimmy Barry Murphy, and they had Declan Barron, Kevin Kelly, they had Denny Allen, you know, that's Billy Morgan was in goals. So they had really, really top players, Cork, and Roscommon just really showed themselves to be a great team in that final. You know, they were in the lead from the very beginning, Roscommon, and never looked like they were in doubt of winning. But 79-18 was a great year for Roscommon in the sense of winning the National League. Then they went to Castlebar and they trailed Mayo for a good period of that game into the second half, and then the genius that Roscommon had in the forwards, they just clicked and they ended up winning the game by 3:15-1:10. And I think, or 2:10 rather, I think we might have looked at that game too, but Roscommon just had a forward line that could turn it on like in an instant, and they could throw the ball around, and it's just so much talent, so much skill that teams couldn't live with them, especially in Connacht. Roscommon, you know, they steamrolled Mayo in 79, they steamrolled them in 1980 as well, and like the Jigger, all those players we mentioned there. But the Offaly game was one where it was a tremendous game of football, and John McDermott got the headlines in some of the reports. You know, it's like one of the headlines was McDermott save makes the Spurs Roscommon. You know, so it was a double disappointment for Offaly that day, because their hurling team played in Croke Park the same day, and they were beaten by Tipperary, beaten very, very well. So it was a brilliant day for Roscommon, and Seamus Hayden, of course, was good as well. Hayden, the paper said that Seamus had a fine display together with Dermot Early in the middle of the field, and of course they provided a great midfield partnership in 1980. So another report said another quality player, definitely, yeah.
Many of those you have with him now, and he covers results and fixtures with me, you know, on RASFM when I interview him. So always great for his time, and I suppose that's why he's so good at doing the stuff, because I suppose from being a county player himself, and you know, the experience that he had and the quality of a player that he was, he's great at analysing games. Yeah. So like when it comes to when I'm interviewing him, he gives good reasoning behind it and everything. You know, he brings that class with him, doesn't he?
He does indeed. Seamus Hayden exudes it, yeah. And great man on the radio when he was on Shannon's side years ago. I used to enjoy Seamus as an analyst. He's got a great voice, Seamus Hayden. You know, he's got a great voice. I'm looking there that Tom Heenan was the man who pulled down Sean Lowry for the Offaly penalty. So he was the manager, of course. But Roscommon's half back line, Hayden, as well, they used to break quickly from defence. You know, they were exhilaratingly quick. Tom Donlan and Danny Murray in particular, they had this great all-round sharpness and dynamism that allowed them to break forward into attack and support the forwards. So they were, you know, we talked about half-backs going forward, you know, to support the forward line as well. It's a great, you know, weapon for a team to have, and something in their armoury to have attacking half backs who can go forward and score. And this Offaly team in 1982, in the first half against Kerry in that famous final, their three half backs all scored from play in the first half. Pat Fitzgerald, Sean Lowry, and Liam Curran. So remember Liam Curran's with that beautiful, you know, that beautiful jersey Offaly used to wear. Remember Miola here saying Liam Curran, the first score of the game. And that was Offaly's signal of intent. They were taking on Kerry. They weren't afraid of them. So half backs going, if you've got good running half backs, it shows that you mean business. The best halfbacks, one of the best halfbacks I've ever seen, Aidan, and I saw it up close and personal, was Kieran McGeaney of Armagh. And I remember in 1988, Roscommon played Armagh in a challenge match in Hyde Park before the championship. And it was a summer's day, it was probably the end of May, 1998. And I remember Kieran McGeaney was playing centre half back for Armagh. And I can still, I've never seen anything like it, and he was just like a machine. The way he could go up and down the field, it was absolutely incredible. The Armagh were incredible that day. Like, it was just, they showed that they were going to be a great team, the great team that they were. They were just an amazing team. But Kieran McGeaney in particular, his, the engine he had, the fitness, the ability, it was just, like, it was just phenomenal. I think he was just a class player, wasn't he, Kieran McGeaney?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and of course, and this was before they made the breakthrough, where they were getting to Ireland semi-finals and finals again, you know, which was later on, you know, but I suppose the players were kind of, you know, he was there back in 98, and he had, of course, back then, like, you know, players had longer careers as well, I suppose, but you know, he was there at the glory days when they won all Ireland as well. So I suppose you could say he had the both sides of the coin.
He was a great player, and
he had unreal fitness as well, hadn't he? Like, you know, he must, you know, in an average game, he must nearly cover every blade of grass.
He had the power, hadn't he? And he upper body strength. And I think he did some sort of martial arts as well, which really, given that, embellished his fitness and training and his strength. So, but Kieran McGeaney that day in 98, I remember a challenge match was going to play that, but Kieran McGeaney was just out of this world in, you know, he was just brilliant.
Yeah.
But again, one of the papers was talking about the 1979 semi-final, that it was a tremendously spirited, competitive and sporting game, and it contained the best of the old and the new styles, and was fought with a pace and vigour that seemed incredible for the time of the year. Because remember, this was played on the 15th of April, and you know, both teams played it in the right way, and you know, John McDermott was a hero for Roscommon, as we said, for that penalty save, and you know, his save from the penalty would not be forgotten for many a day. That's what the paper said. While Harry Keegan, Tom Donnell and Danny Murray were other stalwarts in the winning defence, which gave nothing away. Again, they said Dermot Earley had a great first half, and Seamus Hayden did a lot of useful, if unspectacular work, and that all six forwards did well and made the score sheet. So it was a great day for Roscommon, and the fans would have been happy to get to the league final. And of course, winning in 79, winning that league final made up for the defeat in 1974 when Roscommon were leading Kerry by 9 points to 6 in the final. And manager at the time was Sean Young, and unfortunately Kerry scored an equalising goal in the last minute through the late great John Egan. And it meant then that in the replay, I think Kerry won by 14 points to 8 or something like that, you know. So it was a disappointing result in the replay, but the final that day against Cork made up for that.
That's it, and I mean, that's what it is. Like, I suppose, you know, the way they say, you have to win, you have to lose a tournament, or you have to lose a final to win it, to win a final. And I think, that kind of happened. They lost, as you said there, that year, and then they went on in 1979 to win it. So I suppose, to a certain extent, the hurt was still in them from that defeat, and they wanted to make sure it wasn't going to happen again. Because, I mean, look, when you look at Gaelic football nowadays, it's not every day you get to a semi-final, a final, or even a semi-final, either in the league or the championship. So I suppose, you know, when you get the chance, you have to take it, and that's what Roscommon did that day.
Absolutely, and there's nothing, Aidan, like, Offaly, you know, after 82, Offaly football went into a decline. And really and truly, apart from a small period at the end of the 90s, they're still there. You know, it's a shame to see.
I mean, remember them in 97, they won the Leinster final that in 97, and they had a great team, Roy Malone, and they had a serious team in 97, and then they kind of dipped again then after that.
They did, and they won the National Football League in 1998.
Yeah.
They beat Derry. Tommy Lyons was there. But apart from that, they've really been in the doldrums. You know, they rarely threaten the Leinster. They were in the Leinster final, I think, in 2008. Kevin Kilmurray was the manager. And they were well beaten by Dublin. But it's a shame that Offaly, you know, have been uncompetitive if you like, in Leinster. Yeah. For the greater part of the last 40 years, so, you know, one of the great teams, and
I suppose really when you look at their hurlers as well, the decline that they've gone into now, they're in the the Christy Ring Cup or the the Larry Maher Cup or whatever, you know, they've kind of, when you think that years ago they were competing and winning Leinster titles and all Ireland titles, and see where they are now, it's very unnatural, and you know, it just doesn't seem right that they're in that situation. But I suppose it's like everything else, you don't know what's going on in the background either.
No, you just don't know what's going on, and I think as well, Aidan, Roscommon in terms of battles against Offaly, I think Roscommon in 2003 was the only time I remember Roscommon playing Offaly in the championship playing Offaly in a major game since that game in 79. You know, the game up in Mullingar was a great game of football that Roscommon pulled through in the end. And Offaly beat Roscommon, Aidan, in the 1961 All-Ireland semi-final by 3-6-6 points. That was a game that Gerry O'Malley played in. And it was a comprehensive defeat for Roscommon. They went on to lose the final to Down. Offaly lost to Down by a point in the All-Ireland final of 1961. And I think as well, that All-Ireland final of 1961 holds the record attendance at an All-Ireland final in Croke Park. I think something like 91,000 packed in for Offaly and Down. So it looks like there won't be any, you know, attendance coming close to that anytime soon. But another report, Aidan, on the game said the Roscommon were fast becoming one of the superpowers of Gaelic football, and they battled their way to the league final after a memorable hours combat at Offaly in Croke Park. So it said the winners awaited the outcome of Cork and Kildare before knowing who their opponents would be. And Roscommon can feel fairly confident, for this is a side with plenty of resilience and no little skill, which has attained a surprisingly high level of fitness at this time of the year. So there's another angle on it, you know, talking about Roscommon being the favourites and having been very, very fit and, you know, and being well able to beat either Kildare or Cork in the final. And they were right, that report was correct. Again, they're talking about John McDermott, Aidan, you know, that he one of the reports said that he was a masterful goalkeeper.
But it's a wonder, like, you know, with the performances that he put in that season, it's a wonder he wasn't the All-Star goalkeeper, like, you know, with performances like that.
Yeah, in 1979, there was Paddy Cullen was in his last season for Dublin. Charlie Nelligan was playing for Kerry.
I suppose he would have been up against some other class goalkeepers for the position, but
he would have been.
You know, to think that he was in that kind of mix, you know, he was up there with those kind of goalkeepers, you know.
Yeah, the other goalkeepers in the running would have been the Monaghan goalkeeper, Paddy Linden. He may have got the All-Star, I'm not certain, but Paddy Linden was the goalkeeper from Monaghan in 1979. And then there was the goalkeeper for Roscommon, Monaghan, Dublin and Kerry. So it was John McDermott, I think he played throughout the season of 79, if I'm not mistaken, and then Gay Sheeran played in the 1980 season for Roscommon.
Yeah.
But I think John Gay Sheeran had a better kick out than John McDermott. That's what I was told, that Gay's kick out was the big thing in it, you know.
I suppose really nowadays when we're on the subject of All-Star goalkeepers, it's kind of rotating. The last couple of years it's rotating between Rory Began of Monaghan and Stephen Cluxton of Dublin. So it's funny that back then in 1979 or in that era, it would have been between Dublin keepers and, you know, the Monaghan keeper, like you just said there. And it's the same kind of nowadays as well.
Absolutely. Like, it's Rory Began, David Clark, you have Stephen Cluxton. I thought the goalkeeper for Kerry last year, Shane Ryan, was very good in his debut season. Yeah. Big tall man. I really thought he was a very good goalkeeper. I think I like the Laois goalkeeper as well, Aidan. You know, the roving goalkeeper. Yeah. He plays a roving goalkeeper, but he plays to a. Everybody knows what he's going to do. Like I think he's really good.
He's intelligent the way he does it. He doesn't go out just any time. He knows the time to come out and the time to stay where he is. He's nearly like a sweeper.
He is, yeah, and he links well with the play, and I think he's a very impressive player, and yeah. He's a very good goalkeeper. I'm trying to think who else is a good goalkeeper at the moment. Like Darren O'Malley, I really think he's a good goalkeeper as well for Roscommon. Very steady, yeah. very good on the frees too. You know, he can kick like in Castlebar last year. He kicked about three frees, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So, of course, you'd have to throw Niall Morgan into the mix there as well. Tyrone's Niall Morgan, he's playing brilliant stuff, but he's kind of very similar to Cluxton in a way that, like, you know, he has a huge kick out, but his kick outs are bang on the money. They are, wherever he intends them to go, the 9 times out of 10. You know, Tyrone win the kickouts, and he also Stephen Cluxton and Rory Beggan, you know, taking the frees as well. So there's a lot of responsibility there, and I suppose really looking at Cluxton as well, like he's in goals for Dublin, but he plays outfield for Parnell. So you know, Cluxton has a lot of strings to his bow.
He has indeed, Aidan. And I'm just looking at the goalkeeper. All-stars in 1979. Paddy Cullen was the all-star goalkeeper in 1979, Aidan. He was also the all-star goalkeeper in 76 to 77. And the all-star goalkeeper in 78 was Ollie Crinigan from Kildare, who played in that under-21 final in 1966 that Roscommon won. And then, in 1980, Charlie Nelligan was the all-star goalkeeper. And then 81, 82 and 83, do you know who the all-star goalkeeper was? Guess? Penalty save in 82. The man himself. Martin Furlong. Yeah, yeah. Offaly goalkeeper. He got three in a row. So, like, John McDermott was from Roscommon Town and played for great goalkeeper for Roscommon Gaels. So, one of the reports is John McManus was a masterful goalkeeper for Roscommon, and he seems to have solved what was a problem. For them, with the exception of Heenahan, who was prone to foul, the defence had a good combination as can be found with a lively half back line. Yeah, but John McDermott played in 79, and then Gay Sheeran came in 1980. So they had swapped. Gay Sheeran was in 78. So there was the goalkeeping position for Roscommon. Apparently, looks like it was up in the air at that time, Aidan, but then Gay Sheeran came in and made a position of his own from 1980 right until 1990 when Paul Staunton came in as keeper, and then Gay came back in for another few years after that. But
was like Paul Staunton, actually, now that you mention it, he was another great goalkeeper, and he had great height.
He was a great shot stopper.
A very tall keeper as well, and I suppose, you know, height is one of the factors for goalkeeping. But Paul Staunton was a very solid keeper as well.
Yeah. He was a great shot stopper. I think, as I said there recently, you know, he was a great shot stopper. Like in 1990, I think he got save of the year, you know, against Dublin. And then in 1991, Gay Sheridan came back in, and Gay Sheridan was tremendous in 1991. Like, he was, for me, I think he should have got an All-Star in 1991. Because he made very good saves in the Connacht final. He made good saves in the All-Ireland semi-final against Mead. But Mickey McQuillan from Mead was given the All-Star in 1991. Yeah. So, and the All-Star goalkeeper in 1990 went to, it was John Kearns of Cork.
Yeah,
Lord of Mercy, great goalie as well. John Kearns.
And of course his son is a goalkeeper as well, John Kearns' son, but he was a tremendous keeper, John Kearns, wasn't he?
Brilliant goalkeeper. He never looked flustered or there's a word I'm going to use, frazzled. I remember one person I used to work with, and they were talking about the word being frazzled. You know, I don't know if you've ever come across that word, but I only heard it once. But he was never flustered or frazzled or...
It stuck with you anyway when you heard it.
flustered, frazzled or fretful.
Yeah.
So if there was an ad on the paper for looking for a goalkeeper, must not be flustered, frazzled or fretful. I think that's what we'd be looking for. Paddy Linden got goalkeeper all-star in 1988, Aidan, from Monaghan.
Yeah.
Gabriel Irwin got it in 89 from Mayo. John Kearns was the all-star in 1990. And then Mickey McQuillan, 91. And then Gary Walsh, Donegal, 92. John O'Leary, 93. John O'Leary, 94. John O'Leary, 95. Finbar McConnell, 96.
I think he had to get it in 95 because they won the
All
Ireland in Dublin.
Then Declan O'Connell. Yeah, definitely in 95, yeah.
And his kickouts were huge as well, John O'Leary's, you know. But I think he was like yourself. He wore the rugby boots. Of course, you can't do that now, the steel toe cap. But, you know, his DNA, the nearly going to orbit the height of his kickouts.
He did, yeah. He used to drive them as far as he could, didn't he? Like John O'Leary, he was great goalkeeper, and so did Charlie Nelligan. Very rarely would you see Charlie Nelligan taking a short kick out, but that's the way it was back then, Aidan. That's the way football was played. When I was playing earlier on, you just got the ball, and the further you can kick the ball, the better. And that's the way football was at the time. Just make you vary it from one side to the other. You know, you kick it left, kick it right, and make sure you kick it away from the side where they're dominant. If they have a good midfielder or a more dominant midfieler, try to kick it to the other side.
You have to do it in a way like that, you know, it's not predictable where the opposition predict where you're going to kick it. Like, you know, you need to be able to vary it. I suppose it depends on the tactics too, employed by the manager. But I suppose really overall, you'd need to be varying it, not to be going down one side the whole time. You have to be left and right and centre, you know.
Yeah. But that's the 1979 semi-final, Aidan. It was a good win for Roscommon and set Roscommon up for a great victory in the league final.
That's it. Thanks very much for that, Ray. That was another glorious day. One of many that we've had over the years. And as we've always said before, hopefully, you know, there'll be many more. So listen, thanks very much for that, Ray, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Ed.
No, and that was Ray Lennon, former Roscommon goalkeeper.